Kwaba, Ekabo, Jambo, and hello, Bankless Africa.
It's the end of another week, which means it's time for Sats and Gwe. We give you weekly updates on crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent. I am Miss Purple.
And I am Neki.
Your favorite decentralized reporters for the week.
And again, we try to see how the markets are doing today. Obviously, there are very major improvements. Maybe not so major, but obvious improvements from last week. We see Bitcoin currently at $21,577.44 from $19,049 last week. Ethereum currently sits at $1,219, up from $1,033 last week. Solana currently sits at $38.49, up from $32.26 last week. Optimism currently sits at $0.5734, up from $0.522 last week. The Binance coin currently sits at a figure of $243.49, up from $216.16 last week. And the bank currently sits at $0.0156, up from $0.0103 last week. Most of them look like they're in the green. It looks like the crypto markets may be recovering. Hopefully, it's a good sign.
I don't know about recovering. You know, I'll say don't get too comfortable. That's my thing. I think, you know, it's part of the yo-yo. You know, when you pull out and you look at the grander picture, things tend to, they go up and then they go down. So I would just say that nobody should get too comfortable. You know, don't put your entire life savings in the thing. Not just yet. But anyways, moving into the national currencies, we're going to start off with the Ghanaian cedi, which is down from 8.07 last week to 8.02 cedi to the dollar this week. The Nigerian naira is at 415.33 naira to the dollar from 415.27 to the dollar last week. The Lesotho luti is at 15.84 luti to the dollar from 15.84 last week. See, I love that consistency. The Kenyan shilling is at 117.71 shilling to the dollar from 117.87 last week. Central African CFA franc is unfortunately up from 627.54 to 644.55 franc to the dollar. Again, just a repetition to remember that these currencies don't always truly reflect what's going on the ground. So just be careful, keep your eyes open, and make sound decisions with ample research. Moving on to the headlines from last week, just to recap.
There were demonstrations in Ghana over the economic crisis, and many people ended up tear gas and some arrested.
African celebrities join DGENs on the journey to the moon.
The Central African Republic revealed the launch date of its crypto initiative, the Sango Project.
A lending network named Aiella enables transparent credit history in Africa via a blockchain partnership.
The Central Bank of Nigeria launched its e-Naira hackathon program for all Africans.
Zimbabwe's annual inflation rate hits 191% in June. And that brings us to the end of our updates from last week. Just a quick reminder that the e-Naira hackathon is open to all Africans from all African countries, and entries or applications for the hackathon close on the 21st of July, 2022. So if you think you could stand a chance, I say go for it. You never know. After all, it's all in our hands to decide what happens next. Moving on to this week's news. Celo launches a Web3 fund for African startups adopting crypto strategy.
Celo has launched a new initiative that will enable African Web2 startup founders to broaden their scale of operations and further drive financial inclusion. The initiative aims to help these startups achieve next-level growth, improve their chances of accessing credit facilities, and provide a range of related financial services, such as cross-border payments, remittances, and savings. Now, blockchain technology has shown the potential to reawaken the African financial space, break barriers of financial inclusion, and create wealth for persons on the African continent through the implementation of innovative blockchain technologies and ownership of digital assets. This project will be funded through the Celo Africa Web3 Fund, which will enable startups across Africa to access VC funding, education and direct mentorship, and opportunities to be listed on decentralized exchanges. These efforts will be coordinated through the Africa team of the Celo ecosystem. It's always beautiful to see that Celo is always, always trying to do the most for the African blockchain fair, and that's remarkable. Anyway, moving on to the next headline. Binance CEO pays West Africa a visit.
Binance CEO Changpeng Zhao has embarked on a tour of West Africa. This policy visit is aimed at building sustainable partnerships with African organizations for blockchain awareness and education. Zhao met with Presidents Alassane Ouattara of Ivory Coast and Macky Sall of Senegal and has established a firm partnership with Joko Labs, which is an organization that supports social entrepreneurship to further the cause of blockchain awareness and education in the Francophone region of West Africa. Binance will fund this outreach through its $500 million US dollar Vision Fund, which it raised recently to fund next-level cryptocurrency projects. Binance aims to bring the Francophone countries in the West African sub-region into deeper involvement with cryptocurrency and blockchain technology by ensuring that people in these communities are availed the right education and resources they may need to innovate and use blockchain technology to solve their problems. Moving on to our next headline, the Central African Republic eyes a blockchain-driven economy by launching a native crypto, Sango coin.
The Central African Republic officially launched a Sango project as a step in the direction of launching the country into the metaverse. The Sango coin was launched as the country's national cryptocurrency alongside Bitcoin and is supposed to be backed by Bitcoin. The country has, however, not stated in clear terms how it intends to achieve this, given the current market volatility of Bitcoin. In the words of President Faustin Archange Touadéra at the Genesis event of the Sango project, end quote, "The alternative to cash is cryptocurrency, and for us, the formal economy is no longer an option," end quote. These words are symbolic of the optimism of the country's leadership and the hope that cryptocurrency is the saving grace the country needs to turn its economic situation around. Beyond serving as the national cryptocurrency, the Sango coin is supposed to serve as a means of tokenizing its vast natural resources and ushering the country into a new era of prosperity. But I think we've been back and forth on this project the last couple of weeks, and now it's finally launched, but I'm not exactly sure how they intend to keep the Sango coin stable if it's going to be pegged to Bitcoin, because while it's cryptocurrency, the markets could go anyhow, up or down. And I'm not sure exactly how sustainable it might be in the long term to peg their coin to Bitcoin.
I definitely think that there is still a lot more information that needs to be shared with the public in terms of the how, you know, and the technicalities of it all. A part of me is still excited, but I feel like we definitely need more information for us to be able to be, you know, fully gung-ho about it.
I feel like we do because personally my faith is a bit shaky in the project, but well, let's see how they handle it in the long term. Moving on to the next headline, the CFTC charges South African Bitcoin Club, MTI, in a case of a $1.7 billion fraud.
Sheesh, that's a big number. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, which serves as the foremost regulator for U.S. commodities, has slammed Mirror Trading International, MTI, which is a South Africa-based Bitcoin pool scheme, in a $1.7 billion U.S. dollar fraud. The case is based on the grounds that the organization received Bitcoin from over 29,421 wallet addresses of an estimated 23,000 Americans, despite not having a license to operate in this capacity. MTI posed itself to its victims as a source of passive income, promising unrealistic returns on investments as high as 10% per month. Charges brought against the brains behind the Ponzi scheme, which ran from 2018 until early 2021, Cornelius Johannes Steinberg, include fraud, forgery, and the misleading of clients using phony account statements. This is intense. This is intense because I feel like there's just more and more of these that keep cropping up, you know, and even the old ones are starting to come back because people are trying to learn from past experiences. But I think as people, but also unfortunately as a continent, we continue to be deprived of so much access to so many things. So when somebody comes to us and promises us all these, you know, these wonderful, wonderful passive incomes that we can receive, we jump on it like a hornet to a nest, you know? I think that then goes to say that we need more education, because if people were more educated about what exactly is normal in this space and what possibilities there are, you won't need somebody to come and give you phony statements and promise you all these things. You will be comfortable with simply being alert and knowing what's what in the space. I mean, there's no full guarantee, because even people who've been in the space for a long time get scammed too. Unfortunately, we are human beings, right? But I think being educated could go a long way in preventing the amount of people who fall privy, who fall victim rather to these kinds of scams. So to everybody out there who's, you know, putting together an education initiative, keep going, because there is still a lot more people who need to be educated before they can get scammed, or hopefully, you know, before they lose out on everything that they've ever earned. Moving into our next headline, which has so far been quite an exciting one for me. An African infrastructure firm lands a $150 million fund to launch a crypto water token.
This is awesome. Blockchain technology is beginning to find even more innovative use cases in the African space. Now, H2O Securities, a South African-based firm, has recently raised $150 million from the sale of its native token, H2ON, to global investment firm GEM. The aim of its project is to use cryptocurrency as a medium to improve the existing framework for water delivery systems and provide access to fresh water in locales and communities where they are lacking. The project is set to span beyond the shores of South Africa, as the CEO of H2O Securities, Julius Stein, stated that, in quote, "The focus with the H2N token is mainly on the financing of water projects internationally and not so much on the technical engineering and construction of such projects," end quote. The H2ON token will be used as the native cryptocurrency for settlements and financial transactions between its contractors and clients involved in the project. Moving on to the next headline, Mara Wallet is set to boost cryptocurrency and NFT adoption in Africa.
African cryptocurrency firm Mara has announced the pre-launch of the Mara Wallet, with the aim of enabling its users to gain more control over their digital assets, cryptocurrencies, and NFTs. The wallet will allow buying, selling, trading, storing, and transfer of multiple cryptocurrencies and fiat money. The wallet is designed to meet the crypto finance needs of its users, with a simplistic design that will allow easy onboarding even without prior knowledge on how to use the platform. The firm aims to encourage large-scale crypto adoption through crypto education and by providing financial infrastructure and services that will drive a new wave of financial freedom and crypto involvement across the African continent. Persons who wish to be early users of the Mara wallet can be included in the waitlist on a first-come, first-served basis. Perks of being an early adopter include standing the chance to periodically win prizes and being able to partake in a referral program to earn rewards. I'm excited to see more of these happen. There's ample opportunity, you know, there's always ample opportunity. And if we can bring back as much of the money we're spending as Africans and bring it back into the continent, I'm all for that. So, you know, I can't wait to see what Mara has in store for the people and all the wonderful, phenomenal innovations that will keep coming out of the African continent. Moving on to our next headline, the Capital Markets Authority of Kenya reportedly welcomes crypto innovations to its sandbox.
The chairman of the Capital Markets Authority of Kenya, Nicholas Nespit, has announced that it will support next-level crypto and blockchain products developed by startups by accommodating them in the CMA's regulatory sandbox. The institution is the regulatory body for ensuring sustainability of the capital markets in Kenya by ensuring that the system remains transparent, fair, and orderly. The CMA has admitted a number of issues with incorporating decentralized finance and blockchain startups into its sandbox, citing limitations such as insufficient data for risk analysis, KYC concerns, and concerns about what implications mass adoption could have on the Kenyan shilling and the economy. Startups accommodated in its regulatory sandbox will undergo live testing to determine the expected impact of the said innovative technologies on the capital markets whilst protecting investors and ensuring that there is added value. Moving on to the next headline, security fears as 33 million Nigerians take to cryptocurrency trading. Interesting.
Despite embargoes placed by the Central Bank of Nigeria to discourage the use of cryptocurrencies and adoption of blockchain, hordes of Nigerians are still being onboarded into the cryptocurrency space. Recent statistics from a KuCoin survey reveals that an astounding 33.4 million Nigerians within the age bracket of 18 to 60 are actively involved in cryptocurrency trading or holding related assets. The level of optimism in the technology is still on the rise, despite the bear market, with at least 70% of a surveyed group indicating that the likelihood of increasing the volume of their cryptocurrencies in the near future. With unfavorable economic conditions such as the rising inflation and a progressive depression of the local currency, more Nigerians are turning to cryptocurrency as a store of value and as a means of achieving financial freedom. I have to say, I'm not surprised. You know, when things are bad, you're going to expect people to move to something that feels safer to them or something that feels quicker, you know, something that feels like it could yield some positive results in a shorter period of time and does not fully rely on our governments, because a lot of our governments have in you know, many situations disappointed us. So I think for a lot of people, it's a thing of just trying to stay alive. You know, people are just trying to stay afloat. I do not even think that some of these people are fully aware of, you know, the extents of the space and all the other possibilities. I think it's more a thing of, I want to survive this bear, you know, I want to survive this recession. For some of us, like me, who are under 30, we've never lived through something this bad. I mean, maybe we have, but we were kids. We didn't know what was going on. So the reason you're seeing so many people who are young, you know, as young as 18, getting involved is because we've never seen this before. And nobody cares to educate us on what to do. I've asked so many people, how do I survive this? Nobody knows. So if I look at crypto and it looks like the best thing for me to do to help me survive, I will go into it. Again, this is where education needs to come in handy, because a lot of people are simply looking for just a way to stay alive. So I'm generally not surprised. So I think Nigeria, instead of trying to stop Nigerians from getting in, they should focus on trying to help them stay safe, you know, because that's all you can really do. You can't ever fully remove people from the space. It's part and parcel of what it is. Moving on to our next headline, Kenya tops Africa's share of crypto clients according to the United Nations reports.
Statistics from a very recent report from the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development highlights Kenya as the African country with the most citizens involved in crypto, an estimated 8.25%, which is equivalent to 4.25 million Kenyans, are actively involved in the space. These Kenyans have, however, also been affected by the downturn in the cryptocurrency market, which began last year, November, causing a lot of persons to lose the bulk of their store of value. A report by Chainalysis shows that Kenyans depend significantly on cryptocurrency for local and foreign remittances, commerce, and retail activities. The United Nations Conference on Trade and Development also mentioned that cryptocurrency is a potential threat to the domestic currency of many countries and may eventually replace them if left unchecked. Kenyans, however, remain optimistic in the potential of cryptocurrency to bridge the financial gap and include even more people in the financial system. Well, for one, I think their worries are valid, very valid worries, because it's crypto just makes it all easy. You don't have to fill any forms at the bank or get any government approval to do cross-border transactions or move large sums of money cross-border or do foreign remittances. You can just do all of it under the radar with so much ease, without any of the scrutiny, without any of the potential questioning. I just feel it makes it so much easier. And the fact that the central governments cannot regulate it even makes it more bothersome for them. But yeah, it's the future. And I think people deserve to have more control over their financial lives, over their money. And maybe the government should start getting used to that. Moving on to the next headline. The Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe introduces gold coins as inflation skyrockets.
I think this is a phenomenal bit of news for us to end the week on. According to a June 2022 report by the Zimbabwean government, inflation had risen to more than 191.6%. Okay? I'm going to repeat that. According to a June 2022 report by the Zimbabwean government, inflation had risen to more than 191.6%. This called for financial restructuring and measures to rescue the local currency. The government has introduced the use of gold coins as a means of providing a store of value. The gold coins can be purchased using the Zimbabwean dollar, the US dollar, or other foreign currencies. The coin can be used for local and international trade, exchanged for fiat, or as a collateral for accessing loans and other credit facilities. What do you make of that?
I think it's bad. I mean, we're not in some pre-medieval age where anybody still spends gold coins. For one, I know Zimbabwe has a lot of gold, maybe one of the highest deposits in the world. So that's probably why they're able to implement this. But still, the fact that they have to go back to gold to rescue their currency just shows how much of a bad financial state they're in. And I'm not exactly sure how they tend to turn this around, because what if somehow there ends up being too much gold in circulation and then it also loses value? I'm just saying. But I just feel like this might not be the final solution. They still need to find some other measure, maybe through some financial restructuring, or maybe seeking expert advice from other countries to try and turn this around. But I really hope they can make it work.
Just for a bit of backstory on that, without going on for too long, the Zimbabwean dollar was introduced in 1980. So it's only 42 years old. And it was essentially to replace the Rhodesian dollar, which was only 10 years old, right? And it was at par one-to-one with the US dollar. So I'm not entirely sure why the change. I'm not, you know, too privy to Zimbabwean financial and economic history and all of that. But I think it's just to remind us that a lot of Africa's, you know, currencies and economies are young. Lesotho is 41 years old in terms of our currency. Our Lesotho Luti is 41 years old. The South African Rand is just over 60. I think it's 61 or 62 or something like that. These are babies. When you look at them financially speaking, they're children, you know, and it's unfortunate, but we've picked up things here and there without fully implementing a proper foundation. Because if you have a proper foundation, things can happen and you'll still kind of be able to stay afloat somehow. And you cannot entirely blame our prime ministers and presidents and heads of state either, though, because a lot of it also comes from our history with colonization and, you know, the whole petrodollar situation and everything else that's tied around us depending so heavily on the dollar. So I thought it was shocking. You know, it's shocking to read news like this that Zimbabwe has to go back to the to gold coins to be able to survive. But it's also like a wake-up call to say, we're not doing something right, you know? And if going back to trading gold was the closest they had to a proper economy, then there's a big problem. There's a big, big problem. And they need to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to establish a nice, you know, solid foundation for them to be able to work off of. Because inflation is going to hit people over and over and over again for many, many lifetimes to come. So one just needs to, as a country, we just need to be sure that we can survive it, you know, and that the people have confidence in it as well. Zimbabwe has slowly been going down a very strange rabbit hole for a long, long time. And it's so sad to watch, because as an individual like me, there's nothing you can do except for watch, you know, and hope that it doesn't get worse, but it keeps getting worse. So yeah, I'm just concerned that if all our currencies were not built on solid foundations, this could be our future as well, if we're not careful. You know, if we continue to allow these things to get out of control in this way, this could be us. And this is not ideal, not for anyone. So I hope for Zimbabwe to find a solution that works long term. I'm very hopeful for that. And that brings us to the end of today's bit of news. Thank you so much for lending us your ear, for allowing us to share with you the current affairs news that is going on in Africa as we speak. Just a reminder, though, that none of what we share here is financial advice, only the opinions of individuals that make the show possible. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a rating on whatever platform it is that you're listening from. After all, We are our own wildest dreams, the hope of our own tomorrow. So until next time, keep innovating.